this will truly be a Bible study. It's what it's supposed to be, but many want to look at many scriptures. You won't have to turn. I do want you to turn to the ones I tell you to, though. But I've got over, I quit counting up to 50. So I'm going to do it for you. You will be amazed. You will be amazed how they are they which testify of Christ. We're going to see how that everything that happened to him at the cross was written aforetime. We're going to see that, everything. Look at Luke 23, verse 34, and the title is not the only subject, but is the rent veil and the unrent vesture. Verse 34, it says, they parted his raiment and cast lots. And Matthew and Mark say that they cast lots for his vesture, which was his seamless robe. It says it was a seamless robe woven from the top to bottom. That's important. All right, then down in verse 45, when it says the sun was darkened from the sixth hour, verse 44, until the ninth hour, the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And Matthew says, from the top to the bottom, like the robe Christ wore, woven from the top to the bottom. But I want us to look at everything that was done to him on the cross and see how that is all according to Scripture, proving who he is and glorifying him and God's Word. Now, he was bound. He was bound. Look at Psalm 118. They bound him, and he willingly was bound. Psalm 118. Of course, there's so many. If you go back to Genesis 22, where he bound his son Isaac. Who did? Who bound our Lord? The people, the mob? Mm-mm, God did. Father Abraham bound his son Isaac. And he willingly, Isaac was a strong young man. He had to willingly submit to that. But Psalm 118, verse 26 says, blessed is he, be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords under the horn of the altar. That's the cross. Bind him. And Hosea 11 says we're drawn to him with cords. The cords of a man. We're bound to him. He was bound for us. He was put in prison. Isaiah 53:8. You know this. He was taken from prison and led forth unto judgment. This was right between when he was taken in the garden and to the high priest's house, and then they put him in prison. And then the next, immediately when the daytime came, they took him to Pilate. So he was in prison. And Isaiah 53:8 tells us that. So he was taken from prison. And so many scriptures talks about him saying to the prisoners of hope, David said, bring my soul out of prison. You know, somebody came out of prison because Christ went in there. Who? Barabbas. Me too. They gaped upon Psalm 22. As you know, this is not the only psalm of the cross, but certainly very clearly. They gaped upon him. They mocked him. They wagged their tongues, it says. They bowed the knee. They mocked him. Psalm 22, look at verse 6. He says, I am a reproach of men, despised of the people. Verse 7, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, shake the head, saying, verse 8, he trusted on the Lord, he would deliver him. Let him deliver him. That's exactly what they said when Christ was hanging on that cross. He called on the Lord. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. They said, he's calling on, let's see if he'll have him. They said, let's see if he'll have him. No, he was forsaken by God. Why? So God would have us. So God would accept us. He's our substitute. But, and then Psalm 69, you don't have to turn there, I will. But it says, I was the song of the drunkards. You know, they were drinking and carrying on and all around that cross. It was a sporting event to them. They were all having a big time watching our Lord suffer. Deuteronomy 25. Then they chastised him. Remember, Pilate says, I find no fault in him, but I'll chastise him. What injustice, what cruelty, what, you know, man is unjust. There's not a just man on the earth. There's no justice with men. But Deuteronomy 25, they beat him. The word chastise means to scourge, beat with rods. With rods, they beat him with rods. Deuteronomy 25, verse 2. If a wicked man be worthy to be beaten, the judge shall cause him to lie down and be beaten before his face according to his fault, according to his sin, by a certain number. It was 40 stripes save one, 39 stripes. So they beat him. Now let me read this to you. They beat him not for his own faults. He had no fault. He had no sin. They beat him. The chastisement of our peace, Isaiah 53 said, was laid on him. He took our whipping at the hands of God. But listen to this. 2 Samuel 7. This is what our Lord said to David concerning his son. He says, I'll be his father. He shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I'll chasten him with the rod of men and the stripes of the children of men. He's talking about Solomon, the son of David. But no, he's talking about the Son of God, who was chastened with the rod of men. Men beat him with the stripes of the children of men. By his stripes we are healed. He's our substitute. Scripture says he would be beaten. And there's so many other. Proverbs 23 talks about a son that the Lord, he said, if you love your son, chasten him. Then chasten that son. And it says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. You know why the Lord chastened his son? Because he loved us. And that's a... He was chastised. He didn't deserve it. We did. But since the Lord loved us, he chastised his son instead of us. Beat him with rods. They plucked his beard. Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50. Look at this. They plucked his beard and spit in his face. Isaiah 50 tells this. You have it? Isaiah 50. And if you want to read, start reading Isaiah from 49 until it leads up to 53. It's all of Christ. It all leads up to Isaiah 53. But here in verse 5, it says, the Lord God hath opened mine ear. I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. He set his face like a flint. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame. And spit him. As far as we know, Isaiah was never beaten, nor was he spit upon. But, and if you want to read something wonderful, read Job 30, the 30th chapter of Job. The whole chapter is a type of Christ. Look at that whole chapter as Job being Christ. And Job said, they spit in my face. Well, and then Deuteronomy 25. Now, don't turn there, but you know the law of the kinsman redeemer. That if the brother would not raise up seed to his brother's wife, if he wouldn't do what the law required, then they would take off his shoe and spit in his face before everybody, saying, "You didn't fulfill the law. You didn't raise up seed. You didn't do your part." And Christ was spit. They spit. He was barefoot before the Lord. took off his shoe, and God spit in his face as a lawbreaker. For me, for us. Is any doubt that he's the Christ? They blindfolded him. They blindfolded him. Said, and they smote him on the face. Said, prophesy. Prophesy. They said, who hit you? And I remind you, we looked at the story of Samson, whose eyes they plucked out. And they made sport of him. And they tied him up, as it were, put his hands between those pillars. And they made sport of this blind man. Who's blind? He's bringing this house down. Samson destroyed all of Israel's enemies that day who made fun of him. That's what our Lord did. But man, in Isaiah 29 says that they do what they do. Let me turn there. I don't want to misquote. But, you know, man blindfolds God. And man thinks God can't see in the dark. Listen to this. Isaiah 29. They think God is blindfolded. It says, woe to them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord and their works in the dark, saying, who seeth us? He can't see us. Oh, yes, he can. Who smote you? The one I told to smite me. That's who. He was manipulating all of this to fulfill this, that the scripture might be fulfilled. They crowned him with thorns. Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3. Oh, what a crown he wore. Genesis 3. Marvelous. Marvelous. This is the second Adam from above. Crowned him with thorns. And you know what this says, but read it with me again. Genesis 3. Look at this as Christ. Verse 17. He said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee. Why did Adam was not deceived. The woman was deceived. That's us. That's us. Easily deceived, aren't we? But rebellious. She was rebellious. Adam willingly was made sin for Eve. He knew what he was doing. He took that sin as a type of Christ. And he said, and the Lord said, thou shalt not eat. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Our Lord was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Made a curse. He bore the cross, we'll see in a moment, which was a curse. Thorns, verse 18, and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And our Lord said, and he said, in sorrow shall thou eat of it. And to the woman, sorrow. Thorns, pain, suffering, and sorrow. Our Lord bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Our Lord willingly took all the thorns of this life, all the pain, all the affliction, all the suffering that we go through, willingly. Would you take any pain or any suffering if you didn't have to? No. Unless it's for somebody you love. And he did. And they crowned him with a crown of thorns. Truly, King of glory. He is. What a wonderful crown, sister, that he wore on our behalf. He took all the thorns of this life, our griefs, our sorrows, our trouble, in every point, tempted like as we are, afflicted, all their affliction, he was afflicted. And he wore this as a crown of glory. And I remind you that in Genesis 22, that ram caught in the thicket. What's a thicket? Thorny bush. Okay? Kentucky's full of them. If you go out in the bramble, storm. And that ram was caught in a thicket by his horn. That's a picture of Christ. And that ram was slain in the stead of Abraham's son. And our Lord is that lamb slain in the stead of his people, all the sons of Abraham. They laid the cross on him. I was going to have you turn to Deuteronomy 21, is where it says that cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And by the way, the Lord said, don't leave his body on that tree. The Lord was merciful even to vile criminals. And he made sure that they would not leave that body hanging on the tree overnight, because it would be so repulsive and so putrefying and so awful. And the disease and all that it could be. And our Lord mercifully and graciously made sure that they would take that body, even of the worst criminal, take it down. The Jews made a law out of it on the Sabbath. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that on the Sabbath. The Lord didn't say that. But the reason our Lord was taken down and put in the grave is so that he would lay in the grave on the Sabbath. Dead to the law. That's us. But they laid the cross on him. They laid this tree on him. And he was hung from it. Our Lord bore our sin, bore our guilt, bore our sorrows, bore our shame, bore the curse. He was made a curse for us. Galatians 3:13. And Leviticus 5 and Isaiah 53. Just so many scriptures. So many scriptures. Speak of the cross. Why didn't they kill our Lord? Why didn't they kill him in some other way? Because he had to be hung on a tree. Had to. He had to be pierced. Had to be nailed. The scripture said, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Zechariah. They led him. Now, he could not have been led unless he was willing, right? They led him as a lamb to the slaughter, scripture said. Isaiah 53, Acts 8, led him. The scripture says, all we like sheep have gone astray. He ran off like Adam and hid, not him. He said, I hid not my face. He didn't go astray. He willingly, take me. Remember when he went out in front of whom seek ye? And they would have taken all of them, wouldn't they? Had not the Lord gone out willingly and taken their place. He said, if you seek me, let them go. And they did. They ran. Not him. He was led. She chills up my spine. As lamb to the slaughter. Submitted willingly. They stripped him naked. Now we're getting to the vesture. They stripped him naked. There's not a human being who, if you were stripped naked before people, you would be full of shame. You'd be so embarrassed, wouldn't you? Well, they stripped him naked. He had no shame. He had no sin to be ashamed. When Adam and Eve, let me remind you, in the garden, the last verse of chapter 2, before they sinned, says they were both naked and not ashamed. There were no lust in their flesh. No lust of the eyes. No pride. Naked. Not ashamed. Sinless. Holy, weren't they? And not ashamed. The way God made them. Had no lust. They had desire. Adam and Eve had desire for one another, didn't they? But it was not evil. It was love. Not lust. Wasn't animal passions, it was love. And our Lord was stripped naked. Job said this, Job said, "Naked I came forth from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return." This is the Son of God who came into this world like we all do, naked. And he went out of this world like we all will, naked. Yes, your clothes will rot first, and you'll be naked. Man is the only creature, have you ever thought about that? Why is man the only creature that doesn't have a natural covering? There's no animal on earth that wears clothes except man. Why? Because we're sinful. Shameful. Cover them. Because we're helpless. We can't protect ourselves. Can't we? We need a covering. We need to be covering. All things are naked and open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And we're sinful. We should be ashamed of ourselves. All human beings should be ashamed. And this is a sign of the times, isn't it? That human beings are becoming increasingly more naked, without shame. And man is proud of his clothing. We wouldn't need it if we weren't sinners. Man is proud of that which covers, the only reason for it is to cover sin and shame. Our Lord had none. For the joy set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame. He was not ashamed. They stripped him naked of shame. That's something. And I remind you in the garden when those two naked sinners, they were ashamed after they sinned. They were ashamed. They should have been. They were. They were ashamed. And the Lord, you know what the Lord did? He stripped the skin off of a lamb and covered him. He took the vesture off of a lamb. Vesture means veil. It's the same word, covering. The Lord killed an innocent lamb, shed its blood, poured out its blood. It died. And he took that skin off the, I believe it was the Lord Jesus Christ himself that was doing that right before their eyes. And he covered those two naked sinners. Covered their guilt, covered their sin, covered their shame. We must have a covering. What is it? It's Christ. His righteousness. It's something that God wove. Christ wore this garment. I'm getting ahead of myself here. But I do want you to turn Numbers 20. Numbers chapter 20. If you've never seen this, prepare to be blessed. I've always wanted to preach on this. I guess I'm going to right now. The horror on Mount Hor. The horror on Mount Hor, where God took the high priest and stripped him and killed him. Aaron. Numbers 20. Look at verse 22. Children of Israel journeyed from Kadesh unto Mount Hor, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron, the high priest, shall be gathered unto his people. He shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Now, Moses, remember, and Aaron both did not sanctify the Lord. And Moses got mad and told Aaron to smite the rock and all that. But why were they angry? Why were they full of wrath? Because of the people. They suffered because of the people. Right? The people were rebellious. The people were stiff-necked and hard-hearted. And so Moses and Aaron were punished for that. Aaron, the high priest, verse 29, he's 25. So the Lord said, take Aaron and Eleazar his son and bring them up to Mount Hor and strip Aaron of his garments and put them on Eleazar his son. And Aaron shall be gathered unto his people and shall die there. God killed Aaron, the high priest, stripped him naked, and God killed him. He died naked. Why? the sins of the people. Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put him on Eleazar, verse 28, his son, and came down from the mountain. Our Lord came down from the cross and was buried in a tomb. So Eleazar, the son of the high priest, was clothed with his father's garments, his father's vesture. And that's us. They parted his garments and cast lots for his vesture. Psalm 22:18 tells us that. As far as we know, that never happened to David, did it? Never. But in prophecy, through the Spirit of God, David prophesied of Christ, the son of David, whose garments they would part into four parts. And we've looked at that before. The Gospels tell of four aspects of our Lord's work on the cross. But the vesture, it says they cast lots. And one of those soldiers got that garment. Did he decide? Did that soldier, that he's the one that chose it? Did he accept it? Did they offer it to him? No. The lot is cast into the lap. But the whole disposing thereof, the Lord saw that this one man would get the vesture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Put it on him. What happened to the prodigal son when he came home? The very first thing that the father said, bring the best robe, the one woven from top to bottom without seam, and put it on him. The blood of Christ was not shed for everyone. It was shed particularly. Particular redemption for God's people. All through the scripture. The atonement was made for Israel. He had the names of high priests, had the name on his breastplate and his shoulder. Israel, the 12 tribes, not the world, Israel, God's chosen elect people. That's who the atonement was made for. That's who Christ died for, his people, his chosen people, true Israel. And the vesture or the righteousness of Christ, the robe of Christ's righteousness, was not offered to anyone that would take it. No. It was given to this one fellow and passed by. The other three didn't get it. Who determined that? God did. So it is with the righteousness of Christ put on his people. And it says that coat, now we're getting to the vesture, the veil, the vesture. They said, let's not rip that. Let's cast lots for it. So they did. It was without seam from the top to bottom, woven. Somebody wove this garment. I've never seen one like that. You ladies that sew, Erling, maybe you could tell me, how in the world do you make a garment without a seam? Do you understand that? You sewed for years, still do. How can that be? I don't understand. But it was so. It had no beginning and no ending. From the top, somebody, whoever wove it, started at the top and wove it all the way down to the hem. To the hem. Why do they call that hem? That woman crawled and said, if I could just touch him, the hem of his garment. Bells and pomegranate. But what? How can that be? I don't understand. But it was so. It was woven from the top to the bottom to the hem without seam. With no place to rip it. No flaw. Nothing to tear. Flawless. Faultless. Without beginning or end. That's our Lord. And that's his righteousness. Oh, Adam and Eve tried to cover with fig leaves. You could turn one over and it's still going to rot. It's not going to cover you. Oh, we need a garment that will cover. It cannot be torn. It cannot be. We do. We have it. The Son of God's righteousness. And this was woven by God himself. Made by the hands of our Lord himself. And they said, let's not rend it. Now, our Lord was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. You know what was rent? His flesh. Our Lord was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, but without sin. In the likeness of sin. Our Lord is the only man who ever lived whose flesh was sinless. And here's something to consider. There was no form or beauty, no comeliness in his flesh. When you look at his flesh, you'd say there's nothing beautiful about his flesh. He was probably brown skin. And nothing beautiful, no form, he wasn't taller than anybody else. His flesh, there was no glory in his actual flesh. But hold on. He had no lust of flesh. His hands were pure hands, clean hands. His feet never ran to mischief, were always walking in paths of righteousness. His lips, grace poured from his lips. His mind was pure. His flesh was flawless. But he was marred. God marred his flesh. You know, we're all going to be without spot. We are without spot and without blemish. Everybody, all of God's people, we've got scars now, don't we? We've got wrinkles. Boy, do we have wrinkles. Our flesh, the longer you live, the uglier your flesh gets, doesn't it? Be honest. You start out as a baby, you have the dew of youth. You think that thing is the most beautiful thing in the world. Those two. Oh, beautiful. Aren't they beautiful? That's a type of the newborn babe in Christ, isn't it? Beautiful. Sinless. But the older we get, in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. And not in our Lord. Everything about his flesh was good, righteous, holy, just, pure. You see, God made man flesh, but without sin. There's no sin in flesh until sin entered us. There's no flesh in this sin in this flesh per se, but the sin that's in us is what causes sin with the flesh. And that's what all we use the flesh for. Isn't that awful? Awful. But not the Son of God. God gave him a body and a sinless mind and heart, and his flesh was pure. And the only one that's going to have marks in glory in the flesh is him. We're all going to have the dew of youth, the flesh, pristine, perfect flesh. There's one in glory that has scars, and we're all going to think he's the most beautiful person there. All right, Exodus 26. Turn over there. Here's the veil. Exodus 26. I got to hurry. I wanted to go to Hebrews 9. Told you I had scripture, but brethren, I put a lot of time in there. But Exodus 26 talks about the veil. Exodus 26, look at verse 31. Here it is. Thou shalt make a veil of blue, purple, and scarlet, fine twine linen. Hang it, verse 32, upon the four pillars of shit of wood, overlaid with gold hooks. Hang it, verse 33, under the touches. Bring it in hither between where the ark is, to cover where the ark of the testimony is. The veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy place. Make this veil, the Lord said, of blue and purple and scarlet, fine twine, cunningly woven linen. What's linen? Linen is a plant. It's a plant. You have linen. I have some linen garments. It's wonderful. It's made of flax, and it's comfortable. Well, that was the garment the high priest, the ephod was linen. The high priest would wear underneath it all an linen ephod, when he went before the Lord. That's our Lord's righteousness. But this veil that hung between the holy place and the holy of holies where the ark was of blue. What's that? Deity. Sky. What's bluer than the sky? High. He's high above the purple. It's royalty. Scarlet. Listen. This is in Isaiah 63. This is in, so this veil was blue, purple, and scarlet. Isaiah 63 says, "Who is this that cometh with dyed garments from Bozrah, glorious in his apparel? Why are you red in your apparel, your garments like him that treadeth the wine fat?" Because he said, "I have trodden the winepress alone, the people, there was none with me." Our Lord's garments. You know that robe that that soldier got, that vesture, it was covered with blood. It was covered with blood. Blue, purple, and scarlet, fine twined linen, the cherubims. It was worn with, woven with cherubims all over it. Angels all over that veil between the Holy of Holies. Angels all over it. Angels appeared at Christ's birth. Angels appeared when he was baptized. Angels when he was tempted by Satan. Angels came to escort him back when he was risen. Angels escorted him all the way back to glory. Which things the angels desire to look into. Four pillars. It hung on four pillars. The pillars of the earth. It all hangs on this, John. It all hangs on Christ, doesn't it? He's all. Well, when Christ was crucified, it says, now that veil was about that thick. Okay? Woven from the top to the bottom. And it's separated, and I was going to have you go to Hebrews 9, but I'm out of time. It separated a holy place from the Holy of Holies, where the ark was, where the mercy seat was, and only one person could go in there. And you couldn't go through the veil, you had to go under it. You had to dip down, way down, and go under it. You had to get on your face and crawl under that veil. One man, only, once a year, would go within that veil, not without blood. He'd take the blood of another, a lamb, and take it under that veil and pour it on the mercy seat. No one else was allowed to see that ark. No one else was allowed in that holy place where God was, where the mercy seat was. No one is allowed to come in there at all. But one. All right, when Christ was hanging on that cross. And I wonder how many people, religious people in the world, know why that veil was rent. You ever thought about that? I wonder if preachers know. I doubt it. But it says in all four Gospels, the veil was rent from the top like an unseen hand. It's huge, thick. How high was it? Real high. 15 feet or more. From the top to the bottom. Right down the middle. So the way into the Holy of Holies was wide open. And whoever needed whoever could come boldly into the throne, or the throne of grace, the mercy seat, that's where God is. And that's all of Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9, Hebrews 10, showing us that the way into the Holy of Holies was through the rent veil, through Christ's flesh being rent for us. And then they pierced his side when he was hanging there. Remember? Scripture says that. Zechariah, look on him who they pierced, and Revelation. That everyone, after it's all over, they saw Christ hanging there. They saw him pierced. It was nothing to most. And in the end, everyone's going to look on him whom they pierced. Everyone's going to see it. And then something that didn't happen to him, according to scriptures. Those soldiers, because the priest said, take their bodies down, they can't hang on the cross on the Sabbath day. And they cruelly had them fixed up there to where they could just barely breathe. Most of the time they'd have... Now, our Lord was nailed to the cross, but the thieves were probably tied to the cross, okay, because they wanted them to suffer a long time. They nailed our Lord because they had to. God said so. Okay? All right. They would put a little platform under their feet, and you know, they dropped that cross into the hole. And when so they dropped that cross into the hole, all your joints would be out of joint. That's Psalm 22. He said, I can tell all my bones. But they put it so that they could raise themselves up just a little bit so they could breathe, not suffocate. They could just raise themselves to get a breath again. Cruel. God didn't sanction that. The hanging when our Lord said hang them, he didn't mean torture them. Well, they did. Okay? But our Lord was nailed then. And they marveled that he died so soon. But anyway, to keep them from doing that, the soldiers came by with an iron bar or a big piece of wood, big club. They came to the thief on the left hand and broke his legs. Think about it. So he couldn't lift himself up. So he died of suffocation. And the pain, the shock, everything. Then the soldier went around. The Lord's in the middle. Why didn't he break his leg? God said, not a bone of him to be broken. Mm-mm. And you're going to see, you're not going to take his life. Nobody's taking his life. He lays it down willingly. And he went around to that thief on the right side and broke his legs. And we're going to look at that old fellow in a minute. But our Lord, his legs, not a bone of him shall be broken, the scripture says. Why? Because we're his body. Number one, complete, whole Christ. Not a bone will be broken. Everything in place, perfectly ordered by God. Every jot and tittle is all there. He's there. That's it. But we being the body of Christ will never be. Who shall separate us? But a bone is broken. If it's a compound fracture, it's separated from the rest of the skeleton, then. God says, not one member of my body shall be separated. Why? Because Christ's body was broken. Have you ever heard such thing? They are they which testify of me, Christ said. To him be the glory. Okay.